I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Bill Wills.
And it's Wills and Snyder each and every morning from 5 till 9. Bill, we got a lot every day, don't we?
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thanks for checking out today's podcast each and every day. Make sure you follow us and download the show. If you hear us in the morning, miss an interview or something, Mike, this is a great way to catch it on the podcast and normally around weekday morning.
At your convenience, at your time, whether we're talking to Terry Pluto, Tom Hamilton, whoever it is. Of course, I'm always focused on that sports end, Bill.
News, sports, traffic, and weather on the 10s. Mornings, it's Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Now, enjoy today's show.
Sunday, increasing sunshine and 50 for the Browns and the Bengals. 44 right now. That's your severe weather station.
What you want and need to know to start the day. Wills and Snyder, Cleveland's Morning News on Cleveland's News Radio, WTAM 1100.
What was he yelling at you about? Was it about OBJ or?
Oh, the afternoon crew, whoever works here in the afternoons, they never loaded up Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay. And that's inside stuff. I mean, people don't, you know, they don't care about our problems. That's what he was yelling. Okay, I just wonder, because everybody's, people are testy here.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Okay,
all right. Scott Scuderi's producer extraordinaire alongside, speaking of Odell, you have posted the story, Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. He not sure you want to be here?
His future is vague, Mr. Wills.
The future hold, I don't know that. I don't know the answers. You know, right now I'm just taking it a day at a time.
Interesting. A day at a time for Odell.
One day at a time.
That's all we need. Another little side story going into the weekend.
Oh, I know. Especially against, you know, Battle of Ohio,
yeah,
you know. Whatever. I'm liking them Bengals plus the points, Bill.
I bet you are. Now, speaking of testing, how about former Vice President Joe Biden on the campaign
trail?
Yeah,
here we
Somebody
go.
Dared to ask him.
You're selling access to the president just like he is.
So you're a damn liar, man. That's not true.
Damn liar.
No one has ever said that. No one.
Okay. I saw it on the TV.
You see it on the TV.
See it on the TV. Heard Rush talk about it, too.
By the way, that's why I'm not senator. Let's do push-ups.
Oh, he solves everything by doing push-ups to make him think he's tougher.
He challenged the guy to doing push-ups.
What's wrong with this guy, man?
He challenged this guy to push-ups when this guy dared to bring up something.
I'm calling it now. I'm calling it now. If he gets the nomination, I guarantee you he would do the same thing to Trump in the
first debate.
Yeah, he's going to do one-arm push-ups.
Let's go.
You know?
Wow. Check that video out. Wilson Snyder Facebook, WilsonSnyder.com. And it all started yesterday morning.
Yes.
Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, 9 o'clock, she comes out, makes this statement, had the flags behind her about, you know, Trump. And then she wasn't going to take any questions.
Correct.
So she turns to walk away.
Right.
And how dare somebody in the press ask her, you hate the guy?
You hate the president, Madam Speaker? Because
Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
I have nothing to do with it. Let me just say this.
I think
the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers, of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the election. Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office.
Yesterday morning, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
And she's Catholic.
She's resenting.
I'm Catholic. She's a cafeteria Catholic.
You hate people? Don't say that. See, you're that way, too.
No, it isn't.
Everybody is
testy. You call it the way it is.
Wow.
She picks and chooses when she's Catholic. Sorry.
Everybody is testy.
I'm Catholic. I have a right to say that. She's a cafeteria Catholic.
Since you're Catholic, you can say that.
Yes.
I can't because I'm not Catholic.
If you understand the Catholic faith, she's a cafeteria Catholic. That's what she is.
Okay, it's 5:15. You can see more of Speaker Pelosi. Scooter's picks are up there, too, by the way.
Is it Friday yet?
Is gambling in the Bible?
Sure is.
Okay, all right. Must in the Catholic Bible?
In everybody's Bible.
Okay.
King James, too.
King James, too. Aren't you the money changers? Turn them tables over? It's not even 5:15 in the morning here on a Friday. People are just, you're yelling. That means what's going on?
A little edgy, yeah.
Wills and Snyder, right, Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. All right, sports 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Put on a happy face. And good morning, Mike Snyder.
I've needed an emoji here, right? A smiling emoji. Hey, the Browns are down to their final four games. A faint flicker of playoff hope is still alive. One thing that has gone unsolved, though, is getting Odell Beckham Jr. into a groove with Baker Mayfield and this offense. Now, Beckham, you heard a little bit just a few minutes ago. He was rather reflective yesterday when asked point blank if he wants to be here next year.
I mean, no one knows what the future holds like tomorrow. I couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I mean, I'm here. My locker is right next side to, you know, one of the men who means the most to me in the world. And I think about just being able to come to work and see him every single day and how special this could be. So I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here. This is exactly where I'm at now. And I wouldn't rather be anywhere else.
It's kind of where we are all season, isn't it? Four games to go. We're talking about next year. We've had discussions with Odell about watches and shoes and visors and all kinds of things, but not one conversation yet about him having a multi-touchdown game. He has two touchdowns total this year. Baker Mayfield full go at practice yesterday, so he is ready to go for the Bengals on Sunday, and looks like the line in front of him will be intact as J.C. Treader was able to practice on a limited basis. 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday. Last night,
Trubisky, outlet pass to Miller, right side, hits the gas at the 5, spins into the end zone, touchdown Bears!
Hey, one of three touchdowns for the product from Menner. Mitchell Trubisky leads the Bears by the Browns of the NFC, the Cowboys, 31-24. Chicago now 7-6, and Dallas 6-7, but they still lead the NFC East. Ohio State may be the favorite to win the national title, but Ryan Day is only thinking Big Ten title in Wisconsin tomorrow.
For me to speculate on all those things at this point right now doesn't really matter. You know, I know we got a great team, and we just have to win this weekend, and then
8 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night. Ohio State, a 15.5-point favorite over the Badgers. Pac-12 championship is tonight. Utah against Oregon. High school football last night. Division II, Cincinnati LaSalle over Massillon, 34-17. Cavs try to snap that four-game losing streak when they host the Magic tonight at 7. You can hear it right here. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder.
Bill Zimper on the impeachment story. The angle on the Rudy Giuliani part of this. A lot more questions about where he was, who he was talking to, and why he was talking to him this week, Bill.
Yeah, he's been a central figure all throughout this impeachment drama, with his name popping up hundreds of times in some of the testimony and some of the reports that we have seen. And now, Rudy Giuliani has surfaced in Ukraine once again. While all the drama was continuing this week, we understand that Rudy has been on a European vacation, stopping first in Hungary and then moving on to Kyiv, where he is meeting with former Ukrainian officials who are pushing conspiracy theories about meddling in the 2016 election and also about corruption involving Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Rudy told Fox News, Bill, that he's just a country lawyer trying to show his client is being framed. But this is far more, as we know, than an episode of Matlock. Rudy Giuliani is right there with nobody really wanting Rudy to be where he is right now. The Ukrainian government is avoiding him like the plague. The U.S. diplomatic corps is saying they will not meet with him. In fact, the White House didn't even know where Rudy was. He is in Ukraine as we speak, supposedly putting together a documentary series that he says and others say will show the proof that the president is being framed.
Bill, so much of this is under the title of Rudy being a personal attorney to Donald Trump. And oh, by the way, his client happens to be the president of the United States.
Yeah, that is it. And that's been one of the main theories all along here, and one of the main themes, that Rudy Giuliani has been acting as a representative of the U.S. government, but without being a member of the U.S. government, just the president's personal attorney. You got to wonder, too, the people he's meeting with. Among them, people that have spent time in jail, convicted of abuse of office and embezzlement. Others recently fired from the prosecutor's office in a corruption cleanup in Ukraine.
Interesting. Bill Zimper. Bill, thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too, Bill.
Legal analyst Loretta Powers. Maybe you saw this story. Google taking down these Donald Trump ads for quote-unquote violating company policy. I got a couple of questions, but I mean, first the story, Loretta, that's the story? There were ads up and Google's taking them down?
Exactly. Social media used to be a useful tool for free speech, but now there needs to be an asterisk because of its potential to be used for sinister ways. I mean, think about it. If these major companies can decide what gets seen, that's kind of like a Black Mirror dystopian society.
Well, you kind of lead me into my next question. Now, my filter is coming from radio. We are licensed. There are certain rules and regulations. Political advertising, you have to accept. They have to, you know, low rate and all that sort of a thing. But the way communication has changed, I mean, the internet, Google, Facebook, it's affected so much, and there's no regulation on them.
Great point, Bill. You know, social media advertising is way more effective than TV advertisement. And that's because these companies know everything about us. They know what we like, what we dislike, and they can put a target on our back as if we have a bullseye. So it's amazing what they can do. And you're right, it's not regulated. However, TV and radio are by the government. Yeah. So eventually, I see the laws keeping up with this technology and making it owned by the people.
You wonder about, you know, I mean, we've got an election coming up. We all know the noise and everything that's going on. I mean, this is a story that will probably play out again with Trump or another candidate as well, I'm guessing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Facebook already said that it's not going to limit any of its political advertisement. Twitter has said it's not going to allow any political advertisement. And Google, they have this convoluted algorithm that says, oh, we could have taken down that just for something as minute as a misspelling. Or maybe there was like some sort of falsehood. We had to do some fact checking, which sounds to me a lot of work and not a lot of accuracy.
Look, Donald Trump used a lot of social media and went, you know, bypassed a lot of television in the past when it came to the last election. We'll see what happens this time. These ads were actually paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated, and Google pulled them down. Legal analyst Loretta Powers on it this morning. I appreciate it. Thanks, Loretta.
Thank you. Have a great one.
All right, Michael Bauer joins me. Let's put together the week that was with impeachment. If I heard her right, put the hammer down. Speaker Pelosi says, let's go.
Yeah, that seemed to be the announcement yesterday, but then it didn't necessarily fall together schedule-wise. It was almost a non-announcement that happened yesterday, Bill, an announcement that had Nancy Pelosi saying, for the most part, that it was time to move forward with the articles of impeachment, and she was instructing committee chairs to draw up those articles of impeachment. And I thought, okay, well, maybe that fast-tracks this all, and any meetings that were supposed to be had now, any hearings that were going to be had are all going to be canceled, and it's just get down to the business of writing these articles. But that's not exactly what happened. In fact, we're going to have a big meeting in the hearing Monday at 9 a.m. where the House Judiciary Committee will receive presentations of evidence from both Democratic and Republican counsels for both the judiciary and intelligence communities. Basically, everything that was in the report that Adam Schiff wrote up late last week that they received early this week is going to now be presented to the Judiciary Committee. Well, that didn't really speed up the process. Now you've got to have that meeting, and then you sit down and you draw up your articles, and then you have a vote on it, which is all still expected to happen before the end of the week next week, and then a full House expected to vote on the articles of impeachment before the week of Christmas. So I don't know how much more sped up the process was based upon Pelosi's announcement yesterday. It really just seemed to be a vote of confidence from her that this did have to happen.
Anything from the White House on a show of defense or sending anybody or what?
At this point, not yet. And in fact, there's a 5 p.m. deadline today. One of you might remember late last week, you got the reception from the White House to the House Judiciary Committee that they wouldn't participate in that hearing they had on Wednesday. Well, a part of the other request from Jerry Nadler was to provide notice as to whether or not the White House planned to mount a defense, and that deadline is today at 5 o'clock. Now, there's no indication that the White House will either present any information saying that they are going to have a defense or even respond to that 5 p.m. deadline, but that's what they have for a time frame today to figure out if they're going to issue any kind of a defense here.
All right, Michael Bauer on it this morning. Plenty to play out again today and as well, I'm sure, through the weekend, and back with us again on Monday as all this is continues to go on. Michael, thank you. Have a good weekend, by the way.
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
Let's talk some travel, maybe a better bad deal. Rick Senior at faircompare.com is in with me. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good morning, good morning.
Okay, looking around, take me warm or cold. What are you seeing, to go skiing or go swimming or maybe even to Europe?
Well, I think if you definitely want to go swimming, Fort Lauderdale is a good choice. Spirit Airlines has some $77 round-trip airfares down to Fort Lauderdale. They also have some pretty good deals into San Juan, Puerto Rico for that swimming. And if you really want to swim, you'll head to Barcelona for $570 on Iberia Air.
All right. How about skiing?
skiing, you've got a variety of different ski destinations, including Denver, for example, right now at $243 round trip. That's not too bad. You also have a couple different locations in Vermont that you can get to via air, which are also $280 round trip. Salt Lake City, a little more expensive, around $360.
Europe, what are you seeing on that front right now?
Yeah, your best bets there are Madrid right now. There are actually some flights, in some cases, for under $500 round trip. Norwegian, if you can find a place to take Norwegian, under $400. And then Paris is not bad. So it's off-season for Europe right now, so you're going to see the best deals. Just remember, taxes to Europe are around $130. Fuel surcharge is over $300. You see a price under $500, that means the fare is $20 or $30.
Gotcha. Rick Cini's at faircompare.com. I want to take out to Arizona, help us get to Arizona. Spring training before you know it. I did book my flight earlier this week. I just mentioned this. The Indians train out there. So many people enjoy going to spring training. My dad went out to see his brother and flew Allegiant into Mesa, which I normally fly into Sky Harbor just because it's where, you know, Southwest or whoever goes. But you might get a better price at some of these other airports, right?
Yeah, so Mesa Gateway is one of the airports outside the surrounding area of Phoenix, and Allegiant services that airport, and it can be very inexpensive, especially from smaller locations. So the Allegiant really specializes in medium to small size cities and getting you into the outer, and that's how they save money, is by only having a few flights a week, mostly leisure travel, not business, so their models around leisure, and they're actually in surrounding airports, which is much cheaper for them to go to. So definitely check on those alternate airports.
And if you got a few people going with you, like the family, I mean, hey, you save you some money if, you know, just draw a circle around the destination out in Arizona and see what you can do then, right?
Yeah, people would be surprised to know that over all the time, including 2008 recession, Allegiant's the only one that's only been profitable every quarter. So it's definitely an airline that knows what it's up to.
Interesting. Rick Cini, the site is faircompare.com. Check it out. Good info always. Thanks, Rick.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
The best Browns coverage on game day and every day with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100.
Coming up this morning at 6:40, Chris Ronayne over at the University Circle. It is a fun weekend with the holiday and the Circle Fest. We'll talk about that some with Chris at 6:40. A lot going on at Italy as well this weekend. Best Browns coverage for you this morning. Catch Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com at 6:50. He's got a great piece on Tom Hamilton this morning. You'll see it if you actually pick up a Friday paper. It's up at cleveland.com. Tom nominated for the Baseball Hall of Fame at Cooperstown as an announcer. And a great piece on Hammy from Terry. So we'll talk about that some, too, with him. Later this morning at 7:50, it's Best Browns Coverage 2 with Bernie Kosar and Josh Cribbs, 2 after 8. It's Browns-Bengals on Sunday. 26th Annual Holiday Circle Fest will happen on Sunday, University Circle, and our buddy Chris Ronayne checks in on that. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bill.
What a beautiful part of town, especially this time of the year. Congratulations, by the way.
That's right. The winter is bright in University Circle. I guess your weather report is predicting sunshine, which is great for a holiday Circle Fest. We've got about 20 cultural institutions open to you right around the beautiful Wade Oval, the Cleveland Museum of Art, the Cleveland Museum of Natural History, the History Center, the Botanical Garden. It's all aglow in University Circle.
Plan ahead. You can even prepay for your parking. I saw at the at University Circle's website. And just enjoy the whole day, right?
You got it. Well, you know, what we try to do is showcase what happens in University Circle all year long by offering a lot of free events. We've got great music over at the Institute of Music, the Music Settlement. The orchestra's got some great concerts up this weekend. You know, and I would say to you, just come out and enjoy the park. It's a great family festival, you know, atmosphere. We're going to have s'mores out there. We're going to have ice skating out of the rink at Wade Oval, carriage rides. We're going to have ice sculpting. It truly is a great way to sort of unpack in your mind and just kick off the holidays as they should be. You can shop at our holiday market, at our boutique stores, and our museums and cultural institutions, and have a kind of a different holiday experience than one of those that's just out at the malls, kind of up and down the aisles with the big boxes. What we're trying to do is say, hey, Cleveland is a great arts community. Celebrate Holiday Circle Fest. It's free. We'll have free shuttle service around the institutions of the circle, and then you can sort of take in what you could do the rest of your holidays. There's a great Ghost of Christmas Past candlelight tour over at the History Center. The Museum of Natural History has a great new dinosaur exhibit. Of course, Botanical Gardens got its Glow exhibit that goes on through the holidays through January 4th. There's a new Michelangelo exhibit over at the Museum of Art. And again, this day is really to showcase the best of arts and culture in Cleveland, and that's right there in the heart of University Circle. Like you said, you can go to our website, universitycircle.org, learn where to park. Everybody always asks about there. There's plenty of parking, and then we'll shuttle you around free all day long. You can also take the RTA right up the health line, and you can see some of the spectacular things that are happening in the Circle. It's really grown into this incredible 21st century city amidst some of the great parks from Wade Oval down through Rockefeller Park and the Cultural Gardens. And just take a walk on Sunday. The weather's going to be beautiful. Bright winter holiday festival, and it's our 26th out here in the University Circle.
Fantastic. Hey, before Sunday, get over to Little Italy. They got the holiday art walk, too. It starts this evening, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it'd be a nice
That's right. Our partner's right around. Well, I got to tell you, my wife, Natalie, and I are doing a little staycation right here in University Circle. You can stay over at the Glidden House, some of the new hotels we've got. We've got three new hotels in and around University Hospital and the Cleveland Clinic. And just come out and spend the weekend with us. Little Italy on Friday, University Circle on Saturday and Sunday, and stick around somewhere in between watch the Browns game. But we're going to have a lot of fun outdoors on this great Sunday here at Holiday Circle Fest.
Chris Ronayne, right, let me get you out here on this. I know you've got maybe there's always possible political things in the future for anyone, and it's hard to, you know, really get people to maybe take a stance on an issue, and there's a lot of controversy and noise. But I need you to chime in on our WTAM Twitter poll. Will you at least take a stand on this? They were both on this week, so if you had to pick one, Charlie Brown Christmas or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
That is an impossible choice, Bill, but I've absolutely got to go with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'll take a unique Charlie Brown experience on Halloween, but for the Christmas holiday, for me, it's got to be about Rudolph.
I appreciate you at least going on the record on that. We'll see you this weekend at Circle Fest at University Circle. See you, buddy.
Happy holidays ahead, and join us Sunday, Bill. Thank you.
Now, 5 good minutes.
Every Friday, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, checks in. Brought to you by Universal Windows Direct. Work our way through. I got a list of stuff. Mike Snyder's alongside. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Let's first start. Great piece. Pick up an actual paper. You'll see it. Or up online at Cleveland.com. Great piece on our to all of us, a mutual friend and the voice of our summers, Tom Hamilton, right?
It is, and it was funny to me. I asked him, what was the first baseball game you ever did? And it was a high school game where his brother pitched. How about that one?
There you go.
Hammy's up for a great honor, right?
Yes, he's up for the Frick Award for the Fort Frick Award for the Baseball Hall of Fame for broadcasters, and I think Tuesday is when they're going to announce it. So we will see if he gets in or not this time, because it's just a matter of time for him. But part of the reason I wrote the story is because I knew that Tom had, you know, he's not a guy that his whole family is a bunch of broadcasters, not unless they were singing by Milking the Cows up in Wisconsin. That was it. I mean, he really had to work his way up, and, you know, he caught a couple of breaks along the line, but it's phenomenal how he even got the job.
It's a great story with Tom, Terry, and what he's done and the way he's brought, the broadcast night after night. Mm-hmm. And baseball, is there's an affinity. And really, just to be nominated, it's like a who's who when you look at the others who are also candidates for this award.
Right. I mean, there's Ken Harrelson and Joe Castiglione. Castiglione got his start in Cleveland, and a bunch of other guys mm-hmm. like that. You know, Hammy mentioned something to me that's pretty interesting, too. This, he's done it for 30 years. He goes, he's done 11 playoff teams in that time. You know, we don't think about the Indians as having been that good in that period. But, you know, that's a lot. Because he said part of the reason that some of the reasons the fans really like his broadcast, and that he's had some really good things to broadcast.
Yeah, they really have. Yes, well, you go through the 90s and so forth. The Indians have just knocked on that door so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Terry, we are down to the final four Browns games and this year. Well, I guess there's still a faint playoff hope. But, boy, listening to Odell Beckham Jr., again, mixed signals from him. Kind of symbolic.
No, not from Odell. Oh,
Terry, this thing has just not worked, has it?
No, it hasn't. And in fact, I'm writing a thing for this weekend about Odell, and one of my comments is, actually, when he says, I don't know what's going to happen from there to there, it's even truer than he thinks, because it's not just does Odell decide, well, do I want to come back and be with the Browns? The Browns have to decide, do we want to go through this again with Odell? Does he fit? And why it has nothing to do with his physical talent, but he's coming back, you know, say next year to a team, assuming everything continues to go well with Kareem Hunt. You got Kareem Hunt, you got Chubb in the backfield, you got Jarvis Landry, the receiver. That's the core of your offense with your quarterback. In other words, the core should be those running backs even. And then, you know, you want to have other receivers. But if it's got to be about Odell and this and that, you know, to me, that doesn't work. And then on top of it, you know, we don't know who's going to be the coach.
Yeah, a lot of questions. Maybe Urban Meyer. I hear his name's been thrown out there this week even.
I sort of hope not. And that has nothing to do with Urban, just that I would prefer. I think we've seen, Mike and you have talked about this. What model of coach do they need?
They need an authoritarian coach right now.
Who's been there before? In the NFL.
I'll tell you what, I'd be calling Ron Rivera right now.
Yeah, and there may be some other good ones that get fired too. Certainly Rivera would be he's so respected. You have to talk to him and that kind of thing because they need a guy. It's not just authoritarian, but comes in and the fans will have confidence in him and the players know, yeah, this guy's won before.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. We also caught up with Terry this week on his new book, Vantage Cavs. It's up on our Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast. And Mike, that was a lot of fun. It really was.
Yes. Good stuff, Terry. Great stories, Terry. My gosh, from Hot Rod Williams, Joe Tate, Nick Mulletti. It's good all there. And things maybe that you've never heard before or heard about before. Man, you dug up some gems, Terry. You really did.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And there's a list of signings that you have coming up. Go to TerryPluto.com. How's that?
I like that. Got a website now.
TerryPluto.com.
Good man.
There you go.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Great piece on Hammy 2 today. Check it out. All right, Terry, thanks. Have a good weekend.
Take care, guys.
Make us a part of your Browns Sunday, too. Stop over at the Jack Cleveland Casino. Before the Browns, register for a pair of 50-yard line seats to the Ravens game December 22nd. Grand prize or a pair of tickets for luxury end zone seats as well. Best Browns coverage Sunday morning on News Radio, WTAM 1100. More on the Browns at 7:50.
Scooter? I did.
Time for his pick. Scott Scooter, yes. He's producer extraordinaire. Alongside every Friday, he joins us for his picks. And it's Friday, so he's here.
Yes, sir. And last time we met, it was November 22nd, and I had 5 wins, 6 losses. Year to date, 70 wins, 65 losses,
wow.
2 pushes.
You haven't had a winning week in a long time, right?
Yeah.
Well, since Halloween, I don't think you have.
No, of course. Yeah. Come on now. Still got a winning record. All right. Now, we're going to start with on Saturday, tomorrow, Ohio State is taking on Wisconsin for the Big Ten Championship.
Right.
I like the Buckeyes minus the 15.5. We're going to go to the SEC Championship. I like Georgia plus the 7 against LSU. Big 12 Championship.
Yeah.
I like Baylor plus 8.5 versus Oklahoma. In the AAC Championship, I like Cincinnati plus 9 versus Memphis.
Slow down. Harris, you're writing these down. I know. Greg Harris, Rock Hall. Right, Greg?
That's right. So that was OSU by what?
Minus 15.5, Greg.
I was trying to slow him down, Greg.
Take the points in Georgia.
Yeah.
Take the points in Georgia.
Continue, Scooter. Greg's all right. We got the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on hold. But go right ahead.
This is
Scott.
Primo information, Greg.
All right, now
on Sunday, here we go. Yeah. I like the New England Patriots minus the 3 versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I like the Minnesota Vikings minus the 12.5 versus the Detroit Lions. The Buffalo Bills are at home against those hot Ravens. Take the Bills plus the 6 against the Baltimore Ravens.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
And then now the Browns and the Bengals.
Okay, we're all waiting.
A lot of people. Greg, you're waiting on this,
Greg,
right?
Hang on.
Okay. Cleveland may win this game, but they're not going to cover. I like the Bengals plus 7.5, and an extra pick, I like the over 41.5.
That's a bonus pick, huh?
Over 41. They're going to score some points. It's weather's nice, 51 degrees. They'll score some points there, but I like the Bengals plus the 7.5.
What's the line on the Doobie Brothers into the Rock Hall?
Vegas won't touch the odds.
And Greg Harris ain't going to say a word, because gambling in the Rock Hall is not allowed, as we all know, of course. All right.
That'd get you banned.
That's what I hear. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock and Roll of Fame, checks in this morning. Morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
And
how are you?
We're doing well. Mike and I have been talking about this Play It Loud exhibit, and it's been at the Rock Hall for a couple of weeks. Tell us more about it and invite everybody for the weekend.
Absolutely. Well, we opened it up just before Thanksgiving, and it takes over the whole museum. It's the top 3 floors and then a main part on our main floor as well. And when we opened it, Nancy Wilson of Heart came out and helped us out. Don Felder of the Eagles, Kirk Hammett and Robert Trujillo of Metallica came. We had about 1,000 of our closest friends and a big party at the museum. And this is the single largest exhibit we've ever done at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It has sort of the best of the instruments of rock. So not only is it Chuck Berry's guitar, it's the actual guitar he recorded Johnny B. Goode with. It's the guitar. There's Jeff Beck thing, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eric Clapton, Blackie, all these amazing things. And this exhibit was in New York. We curated it with the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and it was there all summer long. It was record-setting for them. They loved it. And now it's here, and Clevelanders can come out and see it. Come check it out.
It really is a who's who list when I look at it, Greg. And really, you get the stories, too, behind the instruments, don't you?
You do. You know, it's not just seeing the guitar. It's knowing what was done with it, what that moment was. I promise you that when you walk through this thing, you'll be blown away. It is, we always exhibit great stuff, but many of these are still in the artist's private collections. Some of them are still used. You know, Bruce Springsteen still pulls out that great Fender guitar when he's in concert. He loaned that to us, and it's the only time these have ever been in one place, and it's the only time they will be.
Wow. So this is going on right now, and as you make your plans even for visitors coming in over the holidays, right, to come out and check out, play it loud, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, we had a lot of folks come over Thanksgiving. What I loved was seeing a Cleveland friend with 10 other relatives at the museum. And they were sharing it with them. It was great. And it kind of connects to another exhibit that we opened this summer called The Garage, where people can actually play instruments and jam with each other. And so you can see these iconic ones. Then you can actually get your hands on instruments and play with other visitors. That has really been an amazing thing. And then we have these special teachers in the garage. They're called our garage musicians. They'll help them. They'll work with you. They'll jam with you. Well, they also have a band, and every Friday and Saturday, they're playing holiday music at the museum on our main stage. When you were playing Brenda Lee, it reminded me. It really just is festive and fun, and they just crank.
I tell you, the last time I was there about a month or so ago, it was fun to hang around the garage. It was a family. I think they're in from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And the family was there doing the music, and it was really cool just to be around and watch it, really.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I was there too, Bill. We had some visitors in, and Greg, what struck me too, the number of young people just kind of hanging out there was great.
Yeah, you know, it's the museum's always been terrific. For 24 years, that's why 13 million people have visited us. But you've never really had hands-on activities, and now people can actually do this, and it's really fun to do it with other visitors, to do it with your own family. And there's people that may have played guitar in college, or they may have played a little drum somewhere along the way. They get to pull the sticks out again and play, and it just changes you. And you're right, there's people that come down, have never met each other, and within minutes they're jamming together in the
fun.
Rock and Roll Hall.
It's just fun. Hey, and the gift shop, by the way, a little plug in here, when it comes to Christmas shopping, you can get in there and get all sorts of things at the gift shop, right?
You know, Bill, when you visit, you see everything. And the museum gift shop, our buyers have put together a lot of interesting products, a lot of special things, and there's all sorts of deals going on. So make sure you check it out. You know, if you're in a rush, you don't even need a ticket to go in our museum shop. You can come in and shop and grab a bite to eat and take off.
Greg Harris, CEO, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The place to check out over the holidays as your friends and family are in town. Get into the gift shop and send them something too. Greg, thanks. Have a great weekend. See you, pal.
Go Bucks, go Browns.
Back close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens. The stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Goode.
Keep your eyes off some app and on the road. Hear what's ahead. Traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons on News Radio WTAM 1100.
All the morning news and traffic and weather in 2 minutes. More Bucks right now, as a matter of fact. That okay with you?
Let's
all
do
right,
that.
Matt McCoy
big game
is on the line. Let's get to it. Matt McCoy and the Bucks in Wisconsin. Yeah, I mean, you could have probably, I know maybe Wisconsin got in a little bit late, but it's still, you could pretty much have picked these two teams early in the season to play for the championship on Saturday, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, there was the thought for a while that it was going to be Minnesota. Obviously, Wisconsin took care of that last week, going up there and winning. But, yeah, those were probably the favorites very early in the season. They look like the two best teams, at least the best in the West, meaning Wisconsin and Ohio State. Obviously, the best not only in the East but in the country. So, yeah, it's been a collision course. Second time in 3 years that they've met for the title.
Matt, the Buckeyes pulled away late in that first meeting. What do you remember most about that first game between the Buckeyes and Badgers?
Well, something that we won't have to worry about, and that's the weather. If you recall, it was a bad weather game with rain showers throughout most of the football game. In fact, early in the game, I really thought it affected Ohio State. I mean, they have a great receiving core, but they had some uncharacteristic drop passes. Don't have to worry about that tomorrow in the controlled environment of Lucas Oil Stadium. The other thing I would say is that's the first time that Ohio State was really all season challenged. Early in the third quarter, it was 10-0. They got stopped on the 3-and-out. Wisconsin blocks a punt, scores. It's 10-7, and it was a game at that point. But then Ohio State put the foot on the throat and just took off from there. So Wisconsin hung in there for a while. We'll see if they can tomorrow.
Matt, when I look at this Ohio State team, boy, I get back to that offensive line. They are something, aren't they?
They really are. You've got Wyatt Davis and Jonah Jackson, the two guards that were both first-team All-Big Ten. And the other three guys on the line, Josh Myers, the center, and Brandon Bowen, and Thayer Mumford, the tackles, were all second-team All-Big Ten. So all five starting linemen, first or second team. It was really evident last week up in Michigan at how they were just matching Michigan off the ball. They have a great running game with J.K. Dobbins being the spearhead of it, but it really starts up front. They're going to be challenged tomorrow. Wisconsin, a very good run defense team, but Ohio State ran through them the first time. I imagine they're going to try to do that again.
And I look at this Ohio State team. My only concern is just keeping Fields healthy.
I would agree. That was, boy, everybody's heart went in their throat last week when he got rolled up by Luke Farrell. But he is going to wear a bulkier knee brace this week, something to keep an eye on. He says he should be all right. It does affect his mobility a little bit. Of course, you know, last week, the Michigan game, everybody's worrying about him, and then he goes in and puts on that bulky new knee brace and a Superman cape and makes an unbelievable play on the touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on tomorrow, is how much the bulkier knee brace affects the game plan, affects his mobility.
Yeah.
Having said that, the kid's pretty special, and I think Ohio State probably will be all right.
Without a doubt, special. Thanks. Matt McCoy on the Bucks this morning. Mike, they are a 15.5-point favorite tomorrow night.
And I'll tell you, though, they better bring their A game. Wisconsin, there are people there that I've talked to. They think this might be their best team they've ever had. They've got a great running back, so the Buckeyes better bring it at 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
I was getting ready to host the Cincinnati Bengals. And yeah, first off, Bernie, what a disappointing week it was, I think, for all of us as we look back to the Steelers game. You've had a little time to process it. What's kind of your feel right now coming off of that game for the Browns?
Yes, I had a little time to process it, and I still feel bad about that. Any time it's a Browns-Steelers game, it has that much more magnitude to me. But the ramifications of the division and the potential impact on the playoffs was really disheartening to have that outcome like that.
You know, Bernie, it's a young team in some ways, but it's not all that young in other ways. You look at some of the players, whether it's Batonio, whether it's Beckham, we can go on and name other names. The mix, but I guess it's a young team and learning how to win a big game. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, that's definitely a fair statement, and how maturity is absolutely one part of it, and learning how to finish, finishing closing games. You know, our game planning and how we've started out, as evidenced by last week's game, start jumping out to a 10-0 lead, we're game planning and starting out well. It's how we're finishing the game, and that's something that comes with more maturity.
We look at this group, and it's a group, and maybe they've yet to become a team. I think Freddie has even said that, and I think we start looking at Baker Mayfield and the supporting cast. All of that works together, doesn't it, in how the quarterback plays?
Absolutely. Quarterbacks, like we said for years, we are victims or beneficiaries of the people around us. And I think in times like this, it's really imperative to things that, you know, Mike, we've talked about in challenging times,
You have to look from within. It's easy to point the finger at others, to look at what others should do. But in times like this, I found it's best to look at what I could do better and focus on what I'm doing to get us out of this situation. And especially a game like this, the Battle of Ohio, Cincinnati's been struggling. But Andy Dalton's back playing, and unfortunately, they won a game last week. And this is important for a young team as you close out the season to get these W's.
Yeah, the Bengals have a little momentum coming in. You know, Bernie, it is still the Battle of Ohio, but I don't think it'll ever be like the battles that you used to have with the Browns Bengals in your playing days. I mean, that was kind of personal, wasn't it, within the organizations?
It was absolutely personal. I mean, such an honor for me to been a Cleveland Brown, started with the great Paul Brown, and then I'm so old to have been able to play against the great Paul Brown's teams, and now Mike Brown with the Cincinnati Bengals in the Battle of Ohio, and again to go there and have really good success and have played such meaningful games against Boomer Esiason and again Paul and Mike Brown to come out on the positive side of that and win so many games. It's really special.
Yeah, I know you went down there and that long bomb to Langhorne to start a game. I'll never forget that. One of my highlights when you guys won. I always remember the score of that 34-3, and man, you guys were terrific then.
When you go back to a game even like that, that was, you go into the first play of a game like that where the division's on the line. It's a late December game, and to throw a bomb on in an away stadium to kind of put the nail in the coffin right off the bat to quiet their crowd to let the other team know, the Bengals, that we're here to play. That was a special day.
Well, maybe Baker and the boys can do something like that now, because Bernie, we are in December, and I know you've talked about it, playing on the lakeshore in Northeast Ohio. It was never about the numbers. It was about one result, the number, that final score, getting wins. And you were so good at playing that, dealing with the elements. The key now for the Browns to take advantage of that home field here in December, as you look at it.
Absolutely right, Mike. The weather this time of the year, it's not about the statistics. It's about somehow, some way, getting that W, as Jimmy Johnson used to say. And coming into December, coming into Northeastern Ohio, with the feeling we have in our mouth from last week's game, playing the Cincinnati Bengals, a division rival. These are the games where, even though it's a 6% chance we're still only going to make the playoffs, this is when a guy's personal pride within the organization could really tell who wants to be here and who loves football.
All right, well put, Bernie. Well, a lot on the line Sunday. We look forward to, you have a great weekend. Look forward to the game. We'll talk with you next week, Bern.
Sounds good. Go Browns.
But go Browns. More Best Browns coverage this morning at 8:45. Josh Cribbs will join us on your way to the game Sunday. Have us on. Stop by Jack Cleveland Casino. For the Browns game, register for a pair of 50-yard line seats to the Ravens game December 22nd. Or the grand prize, or a pair of tickets to the luxury end zone seats. Sunday morning, Best Browns coverage, WTAM 1100. More with Jack. Morning Cavs update. The great Jim Jones checks in. Your Cavs update brought to you by Huntington Bank. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys.
We were just talking about this schedule and how strange it seems to be. We just saw Orlando, and they're here tonight, Jim.
Well, you know, and they used to say that the guy that develops the schedule is a genius. My only retort would be, really? Oh, man.
Well, it is Orlando.
Yeah, it's a terrible... go ahead.
No, that's all right, Jim. Go ahead.
No, it's a terrible schedule.
Yeah, it's really strange some of the way the things have been set up. But you got to play. You play all 82. Jim, I know after the game against Detroit, you and I were on our post-game show, and it was disappointing. They really got beat down by the Pistons. It'd be interesting to see what they bring to the floor tonight.
Yeah, it is. It is. I thought they were making pretty good progress. I knew there were going to be ups and downs, but I didn't know that it would be more downs than ups. I really feel like we have some talent, but coach always talks about the size disparity and teams that we play have length. Well, they all have length.
Right.
And the other thing is that it's the way we lose. You know, we want to be competitive, but in those games, we're pretty decent the first quarter, but we seem to die. Every time we substitute, we just don't seem to be getting the production off the bench. Now, our bench last year, they used to score a lot, But they need to do more this year, and it comes from the other end of the floor. They need to defend better. They need to hold down the fort until we get the starters back in, and they haven't done that.
Well, I know Coach Beilein said, hey, he's not flinching with all this. That they're 5-15. As you said, Jim, that we knew there'd be ups and downs. That was a disturbing, was just the way it went down against Detroit. So we'll see. They get a chance to make amends tonight and then a busy stretch. What are your thoughts? We've seen Darius Garland now. He's played so little, just 5 games in college last year. But as you watch him and maybe even look to the future with him, what do you see with Garland?
Well, I love the way he's playing. I think he's made a lot of progress. He looks like he's in the groove. You know, he's making passes and he's catching. I didn't realize he's such a good catch and shoot player. So it's good if he's out there with a guard that he can play off of and move without the ball. He seems to be very good at that. He's a gritty kid. He's only 19. One reporter yesterday at practice said that if when you look at analytics, you know, he hasn't done that much. And Coach countered that with a couple of superlatives about it. And if you just look at analytics, you know, you're not going to get the true gist of what this kid is doing, because there's nothing in the framework of analytics that can account for what you talked about, Mike. Only six college games. Before that, he was playing AAU at high school at his 19. There's nothing within the analytics function that can give you the correct answer for that kind of setup. So that time analytics failed. And you can't look at analytics when you're looking at this kid. You have to do the eye test. Does he look comfortable? Is he making the easy pass? You know, is he doing all those intangibles that are necessary to win? And analytics can't touch that. And so if you're looking at this kid from an analytic perspective, you're going to miss the gist of what he's doing. He's getting better, and that's what this game demands.
Great take. Jim Jones on your Cavs Magic tonight. We'll have it for you at 7 on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. On your way to the game, have some of the Claiborne Auto Stores Cavs Now, presented by Wayside Furniture. On to Philly then on Saturday night. Jim Jones. Thanks, pal. For this bill, Wills. Good morning.
News you can use. News about your money.
On a total other note, jobs number just out. Market was expecting 183,000. Number came in at 266,000 for last month. Unemployment rate 3.5%. And this news was so big, Rush Limbaugh just showed up on Fox and Friends.
I think they're through the roof, aren't they? You know, if you had to give President Trump a legacy right now, it would be peace and prosperity. What every voter goes to the voting booth on Election Day wants to achieve with their vote. Peace and prosperity. Donald Trump, I think, is the only president in his short tenure who has not started a war in order to create peace and prosperity. He's actually trying to draw us out of military conflicts we shouldn't be. So I think this is fabulous news, and it's once again going to illustrate the utter futility that the Democrat Party faces in trying to get rid of him.
Rush Limbaugh here, following the news at noon, and on Fox and Friends just in the last few minutes as the news broke, jobs number 266,000, 130,000 above what the market had expected, 3.5% now the unemployment rate. More on your money at WTAM.com, keyword money. Money will be brought to you by Best Browns Coverage, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Josh Cribbs checks in before Browns Bengals. Hi, Josh.
How you doing?
Good, pal. Hey, Bernie with us earlier this morning, and I wrote this down, personal pride as a player. With the way this season has gone come Sunday, personal pride. You've been in some of these situations, right?
Yes, indeed. I definitely have. He spoke of personal pride because it's very unlikely they'll make it to the playoffs. I think somebody measured the chances were like 6%. We went through this with Eric Mangini, but we have really good success winning 4 games in a row, you know, in a 5-game season, finishing up beating the Jaguars at home. They're playing for their job, so it's still a lot at stake. The coaches are coaching for their jobs, and the players are playing for their jobs when the upper management sees what they have and want to know what they can go into next year with.
Josh, we are into those final 4 games. I know Odell Beckham Jr. after practice yesterday, he talked for a long time with reporters. He says he doesn't know about his future for next year. It just hasn't worked to this point through 12 games for him. What do you think's happened there? It's just like it just does not fit, has it?
You know what? I think, you know, I would disagree in certain aspects. I think that
every team respects when Odell Beckham is on the field. So because of that, it opens up. He allowed for Jarvis to have great success. I know Jarvis loves that he's here. He takes the heat off of him. So if something were to happen, hypothetically, and Odell weren't here, the defensive coordinators would prepare more for Jarvis, and then a guy like Higgins would have to eat, you know, and more so Kareem Hunt. So I think it has panned out. They, you know, he has had a lot of targets. But look at where the Browns are right now. They could possibly win, you know, be 500, 8-8. 9-7, that's still a jump from where this team was. I'm actually, even though I knew they could do better, I would really be grateful for a 9-7 Cleveland Browns football team. That's tremendous from where this team has come from 2-3 years ago. And even from last season, it's still a boost. So, yes, people are disappointed because we're not Super Bowl contenders. But at the same time, look how far we came. Look at our team that we have and going to the future. Like, this is a team to be reckoned with.
Well, I agree with you to a point, Josh. And obviously, if they run the table here, go 9-7, I think I even thought that would be fine going into this season, to be honest with you. But I think one of the things when you look at this, though, through 12 games, Josh, five of these games, this offense failed to score more than 13 points. Something's just not worked right.
Well, you know what? I think not having everybody there in camp and, you know, the way it's moving now with getting Kareem Hunt adjusted, I think was a really good boost to this offense. The highs and lows of you know, just the situation, everything that's been going on. With cutting Antonio Callaway, not having everybody healthy, and Joku going down. And these are just things that happen throughout the course of a football season that, you know, you can't prepare for. You know, the incident with Myles Garrett, Kirksey not being available, the defense, Demaryius Thomas. You know, these it's certain things that happen during the course of a season that you just got to roll with the punches. And teams try their best to prepare for us. So any given Sunday, a team can win or lose in the NFL, and it just, you know, like other years, haven't been going the way we needed it to thus far.
Well, we saw that any given Sunday last Sunday in Pittsburgh, you know, when it comes to the duck and all and the quack and the, all right. Josh Cribbs.
Don't
best.
Remind me.
Yes, yes. Oh, Josh.
Get you out of here on that. All right, Josh Cribbs, best Browns coverage Sunday. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, he's talking 9-7. You know, I was thinking 8-8, I'd feel good, right? Okay, but a part of what he talked about in the last 2 minutes of that chat we had is why I don't feel good if they get to 8-8. Right?
Well, look at all the things that have happened with Callaway.
I got Beckham not knowing that. Next year's going to be my year. Well,
Freddie's shirt. Yeah, right. I got Odell talking now. He did. Odell, by the way, just Odell just minutes ago tweeted.
This just in. All right.
Okay, I never, in capital letters, said N-E-V. I was not happy in Cleveland.
Okay.
Just like everyone else, I'm hopeful for better results, period. Next story, please. Okay? So we'll pass it over to Gideon.
I just, for some reason, when I heard talking about Freddie, talking about Josh talking about Eric Mangini. I mean, that flashed before my eyes.
Yeah.
People want to run Freddie out of town. Well, what if they play well the rest of the year? Let's just keep Freddie around.
Well, they win the last four. I think that would you'd have to. I mean, 9-7. That would mean you'd beat Baltimore. That would mean you beat the Bengals twice. So that means what? You'd go 5-1 in the division?
Yeah, he'd keep his job.
Jason Garrett's
out of here, right?
I don't know how he's still there in Dallas. Well, he's still in first place.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's the craziest thing over there. That's Cleveland Browns NFC.
All right, you're back tonight doing the Cavs, right?
Yes, 7 o'clock tip. We'll have the tip-off show at 6:30, preceded by Cavs Now, and we'll get
Sunday morning,
up.
Mike's part of your Sunday morning with Best Browns coverage. And, of course, Monday, Best Browns coverage here on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Cribs back Monday morning, 2 at 7:50. All right, pal. Okay, tomorrow morning I'll be on Magic 105.7, Cleveland's official Christmas music station. Thanks to our friends at the Claiborne Auto Stores. Experience the difference at Claiborne. Get to play all that great Christmas music for you tomorrow morning, okay, 6 to 10 on Magic 105.7. Look forward to it. Okay, got Geraldo standing by. We've got breaking news, though, first out of Florida, shooting on this naval base at Pensacola. That story and more coming up at 9. Vic Gideon's in here, Vic.
That's right. We'll have the latest on an active shooter at the Naval Air Base Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. The latest details on that situation as they develop. Plus, the jobs report out for November. very good news for the U.S. economy. And we'll talk about 1,100 jobs coming to Lordstown over the next couple years. Those stories and more coming up at 9.
Who's who today and every day on WTAM 1100. Rush was on Fox and Friends this morning. He's, of course, at noon. We got Bill O'Reilly joining Glenn Beck at 10 this morning. Geraldo in Cleveland, 9:05. And good morning, pal. 266,000 jobs. I mean, that's a big number from last
Fantastic.
Month, right?
Wow. You know, the president promised the rising economic tide would lift all boats. More minorities employed than ever before in our history. Why aren't we talking about that? Why aren't we talking about, the border crisis, that 16-year-old kid dying, on video? Instead, we're obsessing about impeachment. It's such a waste of time. And the Democrats for all this highfalutin, indignant invocation of the Constitution. Really, they're just trying to knife the president in the back, I think.
You know, I don't know if they've got time to do everything by the end of the year, because, oh, by the way, they have to come up with a budget to keep spending money, too, right?
Well, they do have absolutely necessary things they must accomplish before the end of the year.
Right.
It's going six ways to Sunday. And what are they talking about? They're talking about, the Bidens are going to testify. They're not going to testify. Everybody's going to get dirty by this thing, Bill. Everybody are going to take a shower after, but dirt will cling.
Geraldo in Cleveland, 9:05. Thanks, pal. Good weekend, too. With movies catching up, there's a lot of new stuff out. Some award buzz around The Irishman, Two Popes. Entertainment guy Jason Nathanson in on really a ton of stuff. I know we finally get to see Richard Jewell here next Friday, too.
Yeah, they are, and we're starting to get a lot of those and a lot of the buzz on those. Some awards are starting to come out, like the New York Film Critics Circle came out this week and gave Irishman some top honors, and it also got some honors from other places. And a lot of these movies are starting to come out now, and I think people are just learning about them. Like Richard Jewell, I don't think a lot of people know a whole lot about it, but this is Clint Eastwood directing a movie about the bombing at the Atlanta Olympics, remember, in 1996?
Yeah.
And this, it stars Paul Walter Hauser as Richard Jewell, who was the security guard who found the bomb and then was blamed for the bomb, and that whole story and how it goes. It's a fantastic movie. It's so well done, and Paul Walter Hauser is fantastic in it. It also co-stars John Hamm, Olivia Wilde, and Sam Rockwell. And I really think this is going to be something that makes a lot of noise this award season. It's interesting because its politics are a little bit different than what you normally get out of Hollywood, and I wonder how that's going to affect the movie, and especially the love for it by Oscar voters, who are traditionally, I know this is going to shock you, traditionally liberal. it'll be interesting to see, because these politics of this movie do not align with their politics. But whatever you think of the politics of the movie, it's a fantastic film.
That's a fascinating point to make, too. Let me ask you something else just on the business side, because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, The Irishman, Netflix put the money up for that. I finally saw it on Netflix. I think The Two Popes as well. Isn't that a Netflix production?
The Two Popes is a Netflix production. Marriage Story, which is out today and getting a ton of Oscar buzz, is also a Netflix production as well. So Netflix is looking to do very well this Oscar season with a lot of entrants, but they want a win. Netflix really badly wants to win a Best Picture Oscar. They'll take the others, sure, but they want that. So they've got a lot of possibilities this year, and strong possibilities with those three movies. The Two Popes, by the way, just saw that last night, and it is fantastic.
Excellent. Good to hear. Thanks, pal. Jason Nathanson. All right, I hope you have a great weekend. Tomorrow morning, I'll be on Magic 105.7 till 10, playing Christmas music. Back here Monday, 5 to 9, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thanks for being here. It's 8:58.